A young woman brought her fiancé home to meet the parents. Very common experience, and as is also probably common, after dinner, the father invited her daughter's fiancé into the study for a little talk. And so then, and as talking with the young man, he asked him, well, what are your plans? He says, well, I'm going to study and finish my graduate work and become a Bible scholar. Well, how will you provide for my daughter? He asked. God will provide, the man said. How about a house in the future? God will provide, he responded. Well, then how about an engagement ring? That's coming up. Well, God will provide. What about children? The young man again responded, God will provide. Well, later, after the daughter and her fiancé had left, the mother asked her husband, well, you know, how did your little discussion go? And the father says, well, he has no job, he has no plans, and he thinks, I'm God. God will provide. God will provide. It is in the culture of covenant practices that we read God acting as he comes into relationship with a man by the name of Abraham. And in our text from Genesis today, we read where God says, I will confirm my covenant between me and you. God will provide. Humanity was created with the ability and with the need to be in relationship with God. Without that relationship, many questions arise. And the Genesis stories are stories of sinfulness. Stories are descriptions of a broken relationship between God and His people, between God and humanity. And then it is God who restores the relationship. And so then, we look into the concept of covenant. Covenant, we see God's love and commitment to seal the relationship with humanity. This is where we see God at work. It is God's sign to us. Entering a country store one day, a man saw a warning, danger, beware of dog. But then he noticed this old hound dog laying asleep on the floor by the register. He asked then the proprietor, well, is this the dog we're to beware of? And the man said, yep. The man kind of laughed. The customer laughed. It doesn't seem too dangerous to me. Why are the signs? Or the owner said, well, before the sign, people kept tripping over him. But we have this covenant, which is a sign for the people. And the people of God, the people of the Bible, the people of God understood covenants. Covenants were used to describe relationship, often between family members, often in friendships or in partnerships. And the point of the covenant is that a relationship is established between the covenant makers. Each party will make specific promises and will expect certain benefits. And there are penalties if there are failures that lead to the breaking of the promises. It is beyond a legal agreement, though. It is beyond the idea of a contract because the parties then view one another as friends and they're bound together permanently. But the type of partnership that is specific to which God speaks to Abraham is described as cutting a covenant. And with the cutting of a covenant, each party is then to walk what is considered the blood path. Because, as it is then instructed to Abraham, the specific animals are to be slaughtered. And then the parties are to walk through the blood that pools up. And by walking through that blood, there is a promise that one gives one's life to keep the terms of the covenant. And to break the covenant would invite the shedding of one's own blood. They are to walk the blood path. But God uses the practice of covenant, the cutting of covenant, for several striking reasons. God wanted to bond eternally with His people. These are the people who persistently reject Him. But the bond is permanent. God is also willing to prove His devotion to the relationship by offering His own life, by walking the blood path. During that time and in that culture, most covenants were made between parties in an equal standing. There are equal expectations and equal obligations. But here, it is different. There is a story about two men, Robert and James, applying for the same engineering position. Both applicants were equal, had the same qualifications, had gone to the same schools, graduated the same honors. And so then, in their application, they were asked to take a test by the department manager. Upon completion of the exam, both men only missed one question, being equal. And the manager went to Robert and said, "Thank you for your interest, but we decided to give James the job." Robert replied, "Why? If we both correctly answered 9 questions, I believe I should get this job, especially since I've grown up in this town and James just moved here." The manager said, "We made our decision not on the correct answers, but on the question you missed. How could one incorrect answer be better than another?" asked Robert. "Simple," said the manager. "James put down on question number 5, 'I don't know.' And you put down, 'Neither do I.'" But in this case, it was not equal. It was not an equal partnership, obviously. In this case, God is the superior party. And human beings, as we can understand, are proven to be lesser. And it is God who initiates and God who sets in place. But the most stunning of all is that God is willing to pay the price for the failures on the part of the people. God is exceeding the limits of the covenant understanding. We read how, following His preparations, a thick and dreadful darkness came over Abraham. The reason behind this is because Abraham recognized that he could never uphold his part in the covenant relationship. And we read that it is God alone who walks the blood path. And so we discover that God's willingness to pay the price for us, for the failures of the generations to come. That there's a dedication and a faithfulness on God's part when we are not. For the people of Israel, we read through their history, a central act of their worship is the shedding of blood. They look upon the blood covenant that God established and how God continually acted to strengthen the relationship with the people. In the Exodus, it is the blood of the Lamb that leads to their freedom. And then finally, it is the blood of Christ. The blood that is shed because God is faithful and we are not. The history of covenant sacrifices pointed to and were eventually fulfilled by Jesus. Amen.